This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Get ready for this piping hot tea. Get ready for tea time and filter with your girl loving tea. Spilling all this hot tea on this podcast street. So get ready for this piping hot tea. From tea time and filter with your girl loving tea.
Hey, tea sippers. Happy Friday. I hope y'all are doing good today. I have been under the weather, but I'm feeling a little bit better. So I'm here with the podcast with my girl, Emily. Emily, say what's up to the people.
What's up, everybody?
All right, girl. Whew, it's a lot going on in these
It is.
In these social media streets.
It's on and cracking.
Man, people been tagging me like, T, well, you gonna lie today? What's going on? See, your girl's knocked up. Oh my gosh, the tags I've been getting. I've been trying to defend Rhea and her little unconventional relationship. You know, just, right. Hey, if she likes it, I love it. But damn, Drea, I wasn't expecting this shit.
Yeah, I wasn't either. Well, so I kind of was.
So for y'all who don't know, today is not only International Women's Day, but Drea decided to go onto social media and let the world know that she's knocked up, that she's now with child. So we're going to go ahead and I'm going to read to you guys what she had to say on her Instagram page, that she has since literally turned off the comments. They were dragging her for the filth. So she posted a picture of her pregnant. She says, "Happy International Women's Day. As a woman, we navigate through so much, often leading us to question, what is my purpose? For me, the magic lies in motherhood and the awe-inspiring ability to bring life into this world over a span of 2 decades. It's my superpower. And if anything can surpass the wonder of being a woman, it's the privilege of bringing another woman into existence." Pink heart bow emoji.
Okay, so she's having a girl.
Right, then she says, "We are overjoyed to share our love with you, the little girl. I'm excited to speak words to the daughter I never thought I'd have. We are anxious about your arrival, but take your time. This world can be tough, but know you are being brought into a space of love, security, and adornment. Hashtag 28 weeks, hashtag 7 months, hashtag come in May 2024, hashtag girl mom."
Okay. So she, how many kids does
Drea
already
have? And you see it has 12,000 comments.
But she talking
about it. It has 12,000 comments. But when you click on it, oh, she disabled. When I tell you they were dragging her, they're calling her our Shelly.
Oh, God, not our Shelly.
Yep. They are going in on her. They're calling her a clown. They're even going to her other pages because she has other pictures up. And they are going in on her other pictures and just dragging her. You know, they're saying, "So what pickup line did he use? You want to go play Xbox with me and go get a slushy?" This person says, "You groom that young man, shake my head." They're going in on her. They are going in on her. Now, for y'all who don't know who she's pregnant by basketball player Jalen Green, who is 22 years old. And I've talked about their relationship in the past. Now, I was assuming they had been together a lot longer. But, you know, silly me, because he's only but so old. But I thought maybe they've been together since he was, you know, legal. 18, 19.
Yeah.
She has only been with him 8 months. And she's 7 months pregnant. So that means she went into that relationship on some, "I'm about to secure the bag." So they haven't even been together a whole year. He hasn't even been in the NBA, I don't even think, maybe a little bit over a year. He hasn't been in the NBA that long at all. But you're already knocked up by him, and you guys have only been official for 8 months.
That is very soon, I must say. So with Drea, how many kids does she already have?
Okay, so let's break this down. First and foremost, okay, Drea got her oldest son, who is also, ding, 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 22.
Oh, damn. That's fucked
up. So her oldest son, that's the one that she left at home with no food to go run behind Chris Brown back in the day.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, she left him at home.
She looks like one of Chris Brown's types, too. Yeah. She fits his aesthetic.
That's how she first came into, like, you know, social media, because she got arrested for child abandonment. You know, poor baby. He was seven at the time, and she was running behind.
For real? See, I didn't know that tea about Drea. I met her through Basketball Wives. I thought she was just dating a basketball player.
Oh, no. She had abandoned her child. And so then she ended up on Basketball Wives afterwards, because she was like a stripper. That's how Chris Brown found her. Okay. And so the child that was abandoned, who's now, you know, he's okay. He's fine now, but he's 22, the same age as her baby daddy.
He don't remember it. I'm kidding.
No. And then she has two other little boys by another, like, I think that baby daddy was a football player. So she was married like maybe like 2-3 years ago. And so she had two kids by that dude.
Was that the one that she was with on Basketball Wives? Orlando?
Yep. Orlando. Yep.
Okay.
And
okay. I remember him.
Her and Orlando are not together, and now she's knocked up and about to have a girl with, you know, with Jalen. Now, I hate when people use the term girl mom or boy mom. Like, if you have kids of the opposite sex, you're not a boy mom. You're
right.
Not a mom. You're just a mom. Like, I hate when people do that. Like, Kobe Bryant, he's a girl's dad because all he had was girls. I hate when the game is like, hashtag girl's dad. No. You have a daughter and you have a bunch of girls. I mean, you have a bunch of sons. Like, you're not a girl dad like Kobe.
Yeah. Me and you are boy moms.
Exactly. We're boy moms. Like, give us our, like, kudos. Like, we feel bad enough that we don't have kids of other genders. Now y'all want to take that from us, too?
Yeah. Y'all think y'all get it all? No. You're either a boy mom, a girl mom, whatever.
Or both.
Or you're just a parent.
Yes. I hate
but God damn it, I'm a boy mom.
Yeah. Like, hashtag boy mom, but you have four daughters. Well, at least I have a son. That's not how it works, ma'am.
Mm-mm. No, I'm with you on that one. Let us have our things.
Yes, I hate it. So she's trying to claim girl mom, even though you have sons. Like, what are you talking about? You're a parent. Just say that.
Mom. Hashtag mom.
Yeah, so that's who her baby daddy is, child. Jaden.
Okay. Well, I mean, 22 is pretty young. And given that her son is the same age, I do find that very interesting. Now, I will, you know, say men do it all the time. They do it all the time. They, you know, date people the same age as their daughters and stuff like that. And it just definitely seems that there is a double standard in that instance. Plus, we don't know his level of maturity just because he's around the same age as her son. I'm going to kind of give her a little bit of grace in that situation. But I will say, I think with Drea, and not just her, this goes for a lot of people, when you... You know, and I know she's built several successful businesses outside of just her being a beautiful woman. But I think when a lot of your capital, I don't know if that's the right way to use it or not, but when a lot of your stock is based on being the beautiful person, the beautiful girl, and that's how you make a lot of your money and things like that, as time goes on, you know, unfortunately, the time, you know, you get older and you're not always going to be the most youngest, beautiful person. So she's got to secure the bags the best way that she can, you know, not saying that her businesses aren't working, but it does seem a little calculated. I would be lying to say that it doesn't seem a little calculated that now that she's getting older, okay, well, she might need to go ahead and have another baby because she's getting older. And you can, you know, tell her hands. You can always look in someone's hands and see, because Drea looks good. Like, body on point, beautiful, everything like that. But you can tell she is not a 20-year-old girl, even though she looks like it. When you look at them hands, because mine look the same way, she is, you know, in her 40s. You can tell by her fucking hands.
Mm-hmm.
Sunscreen.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she does, you know, she does look good. And, you know, I think where some of the animosity from older men come is that they feel like once a woman hits 40, like, you're supposed to literally just roll over and die. Because guys are supposed to be seen as more valuable as they get older, and women were just supposed to be tossed in the trash. And why a lot of men are bothered is because you have a lot of young dudes now who are going after older women. It's just, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of these older women are baddies. They look good. And some of these older women are the same women that a lot of men wish that they themselves could have. Let's keep that real. You know, Drea is not no ugly female. But again, what did Boomy call them in the Discord? He says, I'm tired of all these BBL bandits going after these young kids.
BBL bandits.
He called them BBL bandits. He said,
that's fucking hilarious.
Miss Nikki, baby. I mean, they're all getting knocked up by like these young NBA players. You know, they try to attach Amber Rose to, you know, a real young guy not too long ago too. But
the BBL bandits.
Yeah, so I'm laughing at that. But yeah,
his BBL looks good though. I think hers is one of my favorite ones though, because you can tell obviously she's had work done, but it fits her body, her shape so well. Like her doctor definitely did a good job. Like she looks good.
They did. But I do find the whole thing very suspect. You know, again, I'm here for the cougar cub romances. I just am. I feel like as long as your frontal cortex is, you know what I mean?
It's right. Fully developed, which at 22,
I think 22 is a bit young, but I think anybody 25 and over is fair game. But I've always thought that way. So, I mean, it is what it is. You know,
25 yeah, I agree.
Is fair game, because I think at that point, you know, your frontal cortex has developed and you're old enough to decide what you want to do. And let's not forget, a lot of these young dudes are the ones who are pursuing these women. It's not
right, like she can't.
It's usually not the other way around. Now, with exactly. that situation, it is different because he has money. He's worth $40 million. So I can see her definitely pursuing him. But on average, it's usually the opposite way around. It's usually the young dude sliding in DMs, pulling up to you at the gas station. Mm-hmm. you know, all types of stuff.
And also, you know, she didn't get pregnant by herself. You know, even though he's 22, like he's not a child. He's a grown man. He's making big boy money. Like he was just as involved in the creation of their child as she was. So it wasn't like she bamboozled him or, you know, was poking holes in the condoms and stuff like that. And I also think it leads to another conversation as to if he's 22 years old, why didn't he date somebody around closer to his age? Maybe they weren't on the same level as him. Maybe they weren't on the same like level of maturity as him. You know, this whole like city girl mentality, you know, you and I've talked about this a lot, has turned a lot of younger guys off to where they just feel like it's immature and they don't want to fool with all that. They want a woman that's got their shit together, that knows what they want in life and is already established.
No, I definitely agree with that. And I think for like most younger guys who do date older women, that's where their mentality is at, especially if they have themselves together, you know, because most older women, they're not about to raise somebody else's son. Like if you don't have your shit together, they're not going to entertain it. That's just what it is. Right. And so I think a lot of younger guys are tired of like the whole city girl mentality or, you know, you got to do this, this and that for me. But then some of the younger girls don't really bring a lot to the table from what some of them are saying. So I see it on both parts. And then again, when it's an older guy dating a younger girl, that's always acceptable in society, right? It's like nobody's going to shame Diddy or hell, even like Mike Epps when he got with Mike Epps is in his 50s. His latest baby mama wife, she is his wife now. She's like 36. They got together when she was like around 30. Nobody's going to shame that. They're always going to give an older man props like, oh, look at you. You still got it. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you still pulling them, you know, that fine young thing. But it's like with women, it's always like, you know, like there's like always like a level of shame. But I think with this, I want to say that Jalen, like if you're on the outside looking in and you're not like into the whole sports dynamic, you might think like he is mature because he's worth $40 million and he's in the NBA and there's like a level of maturity with that. But somebody reminded me today of the viral video of Jalen, and this went viral 8 months ago and I totally forgot about this until somebody brought it to my attention. And this is why I feel like all of this is very calculated and possibly on both parts, right? So we're going to watch this video. This was Jalen 8 months ago. This went viral. It wasn't not one, but two videos. And people have been accusing Jalen Green of being gay or at least bisexual. I don't know if you saw these videos because even Charleston White drug him where he's like humping on his homeboy. Okay. And it was awesome. Two like different videos. So we're going to watch this first one here. Let's watch this one.
Oh,
that is Jalen with his legs in the air like a bitch.
Oh, he's the one with the legs in the air. Okay.
Yes, that's him with his legs in the air. And then this is the other video that came out of him. Like people are
like a bitch.
Yeah, like people try to like excuse the first one, but then the second one came out and it's like, what is wrong with you? We're going to watch the second one. And it's him and Josh Christopher. And I'm like, is this your boyfriend? Like, what is the tea, Jalen? So that's why I'm just like, I want to say he's mature, but then these videos, I don't know.
There was another video released earlier today or yesterday. I don't know when, but here it is right here. But it's just, I don't know, man. Something's wrong with Jalen, especially. Because Josh Christopher wasn't in the video, but Jalen Green was, though. But here's the video here, and subscribe, like, and comment to my channel. So, as you guys saw, this video is not as bad as, like, the other video, but it's still kind of bad, though.
Yeah, that's literally right, a month
two
before.
Different videos. One, and he's too tall to have his legs kicked up like a bitch.
Like a bitch.
I mean, them legs are long.
Long
I mean,
the
and the boy is like riding on. Yeah, it's like gross. Like, he's just too big and tall to be have his legs in the air like that.
And you she's know, hot. She's 7 months pregnant.
Yeah. So this is what I'm thinking. Both of these videos went viral 8 months ago. Then all the, so these rumors have been swirling around Jalen Green for a while that he's gay, he's bi, you know, he's Josh's secret lover, you know, like the whole like teen, you know, NBA fandom, excuse me, had literally been dragging both Jalen and Josh, right? And so there's been all these rumors.
What inspired you to start painting your nails?
It really started with my hand tats, and it started with one finger, and then it felt weird without all my fingers. So I started doing all five, and then the tats made it cool too, so yeah.
Is this something you hope that like young Hoopers will start doing too?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if they like it, I'm gonna force them if they like that.
Then here comes Miss damn near 40-year-old or 40-year-old Drea. So damn, I got this grown, sexy woman, Drea, coming at me. You know, she's liking me. And so is Drea possibly his beard?
I mean,
I'm just saying, that's just another angle for y'all who don't really be into the sports tea like that.
Yeah,
because I just find it very interesting. Think about it. Drea is 7 months pregnant. That video of him acting gay and stuff was 8 months ago. They've only been together 8 months. So it seems like after all these rumors and things were swirling around about him, you know, being a bati boy, whatever folks were saying on the internet.
A bati boy?
All of a sudden now, he shows up with Drea, and Drea gets knocked up a month later. So was this possibly a way to, like, kind of prove his manhood? That, look, I'm not gay no more. I've knocked up Drea.
I have been delivered.
I'm not gay no more. I am delivered.
I'm just saying. You know, my tin hat is tingling now.
Yeah, no, that's definitely that's a good point, because the way them legs was pointed up in the air, that's wild. You know, I don't know if that's, you know, who am I to say was normal or not, but I never really seen, like, my brother and his friends, I never really seen them running around humping each other like that, especially with the legs up in the air like that. That's a little extra to me, but that would make sense, and it would be beneficial, you know, to both of them, so I could see that.
Yeah.
So you know, fair trade ain't a robbery.
Right. So that's what I'm thinking. Like, maybe, you know, he got with her so people can stop the little, you know, gay rumors and saying that him and Josh are dating. You know, and I think they were also younger from what I heard in that video, it was like when they were in high school. So maybe it was like 2 years ago, whatever. But still, you know, high school.
That was a bit much. I was taken aback. The way, you know, he had his legs up in the air like that.
Yeah. You know, boys clown and horseplay and stuff. It's one thing, like, let's say, pull each other's pants down to give each other a wedgie. Like,
yeah.
Stuff like that. But them long old 6-7 legs kicked
knocking
up
knocking boots back like that. No, that's wild. I ain't never seen no shit like that before with dudes horseplaying around. I ain't never seen nothing like that. Maybe I'm the weirdo, but that definitely seems a little wild to me.
Yeah, it does. So that's what I'm saying. I just found that whole situation very, very interesting. But like I said, the Twitter streets and the social media streets are definitely talking. Now, one other person also decided to speak on the situation. So we're going to watch this video. Tori Hart, they're currently dragging her ass right now in the shade room for speaking on this. So we're going to watch this real quick.
Mind y'all business, right? I mean, listen, I'm not mad at Drea at all. Drea, yeah, okay? Everybody in the uproar talking about, oh my God, she old enough to be his mom. Oh my God, his mom probably watched Basketball Wives. And yeah, his mama did watch Basketball Wives. And you know what? He probably watched it with her. And that's why he went after Drea. He wanted some of that cougar. He wanted some of that cougar snatch. He wanted some of that. Don't get it twisted. Listen, If he wanted to pull out, he would have pulled out. He didn't pull out. That cougar had him in a chokehold.
I mean, she does kind of have a point, though. Now, as far as, like, he was watching it with his mama and all that shit, I don't know about all that. But, I mean, she did have a point. If he wanted to, you know, it takes two to tango. So, if he didn't want to knock her up, then, you know, she didn't have to get knocked up. So, I'm with her on that. But I don't know if he was watching it with her. But, you know, to be fair, I remember watching soap operas and shit that my grandma watched when I was a kid. But anyway, that has nothing to do with anything. But
I just don't like how she described it.
Yeah, he was watching her as a kid wanting that cougar snatch. Girl, come on.
Because it's like, if the genders were reversed, you wouldn't, like, nobody would even be like, oh, he was drilling that old dick into that. And I'd be like, nobody wants to hear that. Like,
yeah, he was watching her. Yeah, she was watching him on whatever. I don't know, Baywatch. I don't know why Baywatch came to my mind. Who's the guy that I... Yeah. Showing my age, Baywatch. Oh my god, yeah, watching David Hasselhoff when she was a little girl. She wanted some of that old man dick. Yeah, no, that would not fly. Not to mention, I didn't know she was really a commentator like that. I don't really follow Tori Hart like that, though.
I don't think she's a commentator. I think she's a comedian who just is getting...
Oh, she was trying to be funny.
She's just reporting live from another bitch's business. That's all she's doing. Talking about,
I'd be doing that too, though.
All the while she's in Dre and them's business. And, you know, again, and maybe she is feeling like, you know, old city girls up 100 because, as we all know, her ex-husband, Kevin Hart, left her for a little young thing, a Nico McRib.
Yeah. What's his name? Cat Williams call all their wives, the weird face. Fuck.
Oh, yeah. The big face, light skinned women.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah. He left her for one of them. That's never done an interview.
Right. So I think that might be part of it, too, is, you know, because Tori is 46 and Nico is, what, like 30-something, 39 or something like that. So they're a few years apart, but, you know, Kevin got somebody a little bit younger. So, you know, again, Tori's definitely entitled to her opinion. I just don't like the way she kind of described it. Kind of sounded really, you know.
It did come off kind of pervy. I'll give you that. You know, mm-hmm.
And then I also wonder too, would she have the same energy if, you know, what's her son's name, Henderson or something like that?
Absolutely not. She would not. She'd if be she like, this be bitch okay is with- coming after my son's money.
Yeah, if she would be okay with Henderson, you know, knocking up a 40-year-old, you know, a few years from now.
I'm curious what his family thinks about his, because I'm assuming this is his first child. He doesn't have any other kids, right?
Nope. This is her fourth. But his first, I really want to know what his mom thinks and, you know, his dad and stuff like that. I wonder if they're, you know, like, it is what it is. I mean, it has been 7 months, so they've had time to kind of deal with this, or if they really feel a way, because at the end of the day, she is securing that bag. I don't see the relationship lasting, though. Like, I don't see him walking down the aisle with her or nothing like that. But, you know, for people like Drea, it's about that child support check.
Right.
She's looking to get alimony. She's looking to get child support.
Exactly. And in these days, you know, that's how a lot of people pay their bills.
I mean, when I lived in LA, oh my gosh, my the leasing lady, she used to spill everybody's tea chain.
They're so messy.
Yeah, there was a lot of, like, celebrity chicks. Well, not even celebrities, but, like, you know, people who lived in my building. And she would tell me, like, oh yeah, she got three kids by three different, you know, LA Lakers team players, or, you know, her baby daddy's a NFL player, and she just lives off of child support. Her child support checks be like $10,000 a month.
Damn, she's spilling all the tea.
Yeah, so a lot of these people, this is how they fund their lifestyle. Like, you know, if you're dealing with an athlete, you're basically set for as long as they're in the league. You know, for a long time. You know, hopefully she does something smart with the money. I mean, her other baby daddy was an athlete too, but I think he was more like a bench warmer. Like, I couldn't tell you anything about Orlando's stats.
Well, hell, don't the bench warmers get paid pretty well, too, though?
I mean, they get a decent check, but would you rather be with a bench warmer or somebody who really has a name in the league, like a LeBron?
Yeah, that's true. You know? I mean, I know, like, it's Slim Pickens out here, but...
Yeah, Orlando, what's his last name, Sedgwick or something like that? His names don't really ring bells like that.
I just was familiar with him from basketball, but I'm not into sports like that, so I will say I wouldn't be able to tell you, even if he was super, you know, well-known, I wouldn't know unless, you know, like I said, it intersected with basketball wives or something like that I would actually watch. But I could see with now that her kids are getting older and they're reaching that age, I could see why having another one would be more financially beneficial, especially with the economy and inflation and all that shit going up. You definitely do have to have multiple streams of income. Not saying that that should be the reason to have a child, but I see what she's doing, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And it looks like they broke up in 2019. So they never got married. He was just a long suffering fiance.
Long suffering fiance. Damn. I remember she was fighting over him because he was trying to talk to Jackie's daughter. And he was on the show. Like, he popped up on the show.
Yeah, I checked out of Basketball Wives a few years ago.
I did too, but I remember that. I watched that particular season with Malaysia and Drea and Brandy and Jackie, and hell, Tammy might have popped on there for a minute, but I don't really like Basketball Wives like that either. I think that was the last season Drea was on it.
Yeah. So I wonder how he feels, Orlando Scandrick, that's his name, because he's about Drea's age. He's what? He's 37.
He's probably fucking girls the same age as her baby daddy, so he probably can't say much of shit either.
That's true, too. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. He's probably dating some little 21-year-old right now.
Right. And Dre's like, I wish you would say something.
And he has daughters, too. So he has twin daughters that are, I think, like, they're 5. So they were some type of blended family. But I still think it's a trip that her oldest is 22 now. And so, like, what? So the baby's going to have an uncle and a bro daddy? Like, I'm just...
Yeah, that definitely is going to be confusing.
Oh, this is going to be an interesting thing. So,
good girl luck, mom. Drea. Hashtag girl mom.
Yeah, good luck, girl mom. This is a bit much, but yeah,
you got a lot going on.
It's messy. You know, hopefully, you know, these will help Jalen in these gay rumors, you know, now that he's with Drea. I feel like that's what he was trying to low-key cover up, was those rumors.
But yeah, because them legs up in the air, that was pretty damning.
Yeah, that was a lot. That was definitely a lot.
A lot. So now,
let's go ahead and segue into all this drama that's going on with Ryan Garcia.
Mm.
This has been crazy. The boxer.
Yeah.
Me and RG have been talking about him like the last 2 days. She was like filling me in. And I was just blowed. Ryan Garcia, first of all, let's get this out the way. He's fine as hell.
I was about to say the same thing. He is so good looking.
He's fine.
Very, very fine.
But, you know, he's very handsome. He's been in the game since he was like 7, you know, just boxing and doing a lot of stuff. And lately he's been out here hooping and hollering about going to the Bohemian Grove. He got onto a live stream with Andrew Tate and was going off. He's saying that he's seeing demons and UFOs and that Oscar De La Hoya did some things to him. It's just been a whole bunch of mess. Diddy's name is getting mentioned in all this fuckery as well. So, and the thing that a lot of people really liked about Ryan Garcia is that when he first started, he was very humble, quiet, meek. He always thanked God, always thanked Jesus. You know, he's a proud Christian. And then it just seems like slowly, he's just been kind of going crazy. He had took to, I believe it was Twitter or Instagram, one of the two, and he had wrote like all this gibberish about like the Baphomet. And so that kind of had people really, really worried. And then he eventually did that live stream with Andrew Tate, where he was talking about ending up at the Bohemian Grove. So we're going to go ahead and listen to that. This whole thing with Andrew Tate. Then he comes back and acts like nothing is wrong. So the whole thing is just really weird. So let's go ahead and listen to.
Yo, Andrew.
Hey, bro. All right, talk to us.
Bro, I don't give a fuck, bro. They held me down and they made me watch little kids get raped. I don't give a fuck anymore.
Where?
Bro, they fucking took me to the fucking woods, bro, and they fucking tied. I'm not fucking joking, bro. I have fucking proof, bro. I don't give a fuck. Bro, I fucking will show you every fucking video you could ever fucking believe. Bohemian Grove is real. They fucking tied me down and they made me fucking watch, dog. I absolutely don't give a fuck anymore. Yes, I fucking lost it. They're raping little kids.
He doesn't want to take us all, so let's go. Come on, Ryan. He doesn't
want to
take us all.
Come on, fuck this guy. Bro, fuck this dude.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Yeah, come on.
Who?
Bro, you know the higher elites, bro. You already know who they are, bro.
You know
the path you're going down is dangerous, my friend.
I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. They can't touch me. I'm a god.
Well, that's the first point of contention, because I care about you a lot, and I can assure you from my own personal experience that they can touch you, which is
bro,
the worst
part. No, they can't, bro. All right, so come touch me, you fucking bitch.
You have proof of these things? You have proof of this on your phone?
Yes, of course I do. The fuck are you talking about? Of course. If Alex could get a fucking video from the Bohemian Grove, of course I could.
Well, I have to be careful what I say because I'm in the middle of a judicial process right now.
You want me to get you out of it? I can help.
Well, bro, my door gets kicked in if I say what I'm thinking.
Okay, well, I can help you get out of it if you want. I know people.
Oh. Tell everyone at home then. Start from the beginning. When did this happen? Where did this happen? What exactly did you see? Why have you tweeted the things you've tweeted? Let people at home understand you a little.
Because I don't give a fuck, bro. They rape me, right? I was 2 years old. They rape me. I have proof of that, too. That's where it all started, bro. Okay?
You do know there's going to be certain people who believe. And I'm, Ryan, you know, I like you. We've been speaking for years. You know there's going to be people who believe you're just saying this because you've, I don't know, had a mental breakdown or taken drugs and you're repeating
some of the
things you've said on the internet. And that, guess so what? They're going to not believe you unless you come at it very drug coherently.
Test, Andrew, I'll go to the fucking Romania and take a drug test in front of your face.
Bro, you don't want to come here. You don't need Romanian jail. It's bad for your fight camp. But I'm just asking, like, you're going to have to tell a far more coherent story from start to finish for people to truly understand that what you're saying happened is what you saw and that this is not some sort of episode or anything else. This is my advice to you as a brother. I'm trying to make it, if you want people to believe you, you're going to have to come along and explain from the absolute beginning exactly how it happened, who was involved, how you got there, what car you were in, where you were standing, everything.
Of course they're going to want that, and I have all the information possible.
Okay, so when are you releasing it? How are you releasing it? Or are you keeping it for yourself? Because it looks like you don't want to keep it for yourself.
I don't. At the right time, I'm going to release all of it. But at the right time, I'm going to do it. They're already calling me to tell me to stop. I don't give a fuck, dude. I've already had a meeting with them. I'm going to let you sit with that, Andrew.
All right, bro. Well, I want you to know that either way, I'm praying for you, and I hope that...
Thank you, bro.
You know, and I mean
I don't give a fuck, bro. Alex Jones has been saying the same shit, and they try to... The only reason they can't stop me because they listen to the devil. I listen to God. God gave me authority. It's over for everybody, bro.
Hoo-wee.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a lot.
It's a lot to take in. And like I said, this has been going on for days. That weird tweet that initially kind of kicked this off is he says, "We got him, boys. Ryan Garcia, rest in peace, bitch, 666. The video is exactly 666 in time. We told you we are coming, ha, 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 blah, 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 blah." And it's just a bunch of, like, gibberish after that. It's so creepy.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. It's very fucking creepy.
Yeah, and so part of it is, like, you know, he's young, he's 25, he's rich. You know, is he going crazy? Is the fame getting to his head? Or, you know, we all know the Bohemian Grove is real because we all watched the Alex Jones sneaking into that, like, you know, years ago. I remember that's what kind of first got me more awake and conscious. And that was just so scary watching that. But there's something sinister that is going on, not just in Hollywood, but just in entertainment, period. And
yeah,
the veil is being lifted.
Yeah. Like you said, it is the year of exposure. And I know an angle that probably a lot of people are going to take, and I myself have even thought, you know, a lot of times, because wasn't there a, once again, I'm not super familiar with sports. I can't remember if it was a baseball player or another boxer or something that didn't he die and in his cell, like he, you know,
there was
like
Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And it was a very similar story. You know, he had like the all seeing eye. And so this isn't the first time.
Yep. When he killed himself, he wrote in blood and he wrote Illuminati in blood and had the all seeing eye in blood, like written in his cell as well. And then he had it to like a particular Bible verse, like
3:16, John 3:16.
Yeah. John 3:16. Thank you. Yep.
Yeah. And so this definitely isn't the first time this has happened. And I know an angle that a lot of people are going to go for, especially with boxers. They're going to be like, oh, well, you know, they get a lot of head trauma and stuff like that. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So maybe he's just, you know, got hit too hard and now he's crazy and he's hallucinating and stuff like that. But once again, this is not the first time that we've heard of, you know, something like this happening, especially with an athlete. Bohemian Grove is 100% real. And they have done a very good job of painting Alex Jones out to be this crazy conspiracy theorist. And I even used to kind of cackle at Alex Jones, you know, with the frogs. They're turning the fucking frogs gay. And then come to find out with the frogs, like there really were like genetically mutating the frogs through the water. Like if for people who are familiar with that thing,
so many things that he was talking about the frogs. Yeah, so many things that Alex Jones predicted and said back in the day have come to pass. Like how many times have been on Twitter and it's like Alex Jones was right, is trending number one.
Yes. And it happens a lot. So, you know, they have done a good job making him look crazy, but that Bohemian Grove thing was legit. It was so creepy. It was very real. Now, if he was there, he could have been there. I don't know. It is interesting to think if he's saying that he has it all recorded on his phone, but he was tied up. I mean, there are a lot of, I think Andrew Tate gave him very good advice when he said, look, if you want people to believe you, you need to be a lot more coherent and you're going to have to give a lot more details and stuff like that. But honestly, even if he did break it down like detail by detail, well, at first I was going to say maybe people wouldn't. But nowadays, actually, I think people would believe him if he came through with because I already am believing him anyways. But if he came through with more details, how did you get there? What happened? Just you could definitely tell that he was very frantic when he was talking to him in that situation. So, but I could definitely see all that being very real because all of this has already been proven to be real. I don't think he just got hit in the head one too many times and he's losing it. I think he's been exposed to some really dark, sinister things. And that's typically what they do. They paint people out to be crazy and, you know, try to discredit them.
Yeah, and then let's not forget his ex-wife even came out and she posted this on her Instagram story. And usually when somebody's like your ex, it's like out of sight, out of mind, you could care less. But she took to her Instagram and she said this, if all of my followers who are believers could please pray for Ryan. We are not together and I've been in contact with him and he may seem fine, but he's not. I know in my heart he's being heavily oppressed. This is not a troll. I'm genuinely concerned. So is all of his family members. We are not a part of any of this and want him to get better, but this is real. Pray for him. And that was from his ex-wife, you know? And like I said, like anytime you've seen Ryan, he's always just talked highly about God and just thanking God for his blessings. But he's also been in this sport since he was 7 years old, you know? And so obviously he was raised for this, you know, from the time he was little, he never really had a choice. This is what he was going to do because his daddy was a boxer, you know.
His dad a Freemason boxer too?
I heard something about that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a fact. Allegedly.
Right. So it's very interesting to see, like, you know, were there some things that he was put through? It kind of reminds me of MK Ultra.
Right.
And actors go through that. And then eventually, once they get to around this age, 25, they snap. Amanda Bynes, Britney Spears, remember? So maybe his MK Ultra sports programming is, I don't know, fizzling out or something. But he did post another video 10 hours ago where he's talking and trying to act like everything's all good. So we're going to go ahead and watch this video too.
Ryan Garcia's latest tweet and Instagram video is probably the most worrying out of anything he's released over the last couple of days. Yet, he's meant to be going into his fight camp with Devin Haney now.
Pretty intense things. I understand what they are and I don't understand what they look like. but I'm coming back to announce I'm not going to speak on any other topic other than boxing, sports, and my fight. That's the only thing I'm going to be talking about.
Firstly, what is he even wearing on his head as this begins? Someone did comment something behind this saying Jesus wore the crown when he got crucified and publicly humiliated. Seems like the elites are making a mockery of it while forcing him to stay silent. And now, why is he not looking at the camera when he is speaking? It's like he's reading a script.
And I'm training for this fight. I want everybody to know this fight's still on. 420, 5 weeks of super focus. I have PBD helping me in this camp and many other warriors. So I thank you guys for the support and I'll see you guys on 420.
Why he's wearing that on his head, which is just weird anyway, and why he's clearly reading off a script. I thought it might have been another video angle for this on the zone or something he's boxing on, but that's it. He's looking away from the camera. It's so bizarre. Now, let me just say this. I'm going to have a video longer explaining the whole situation, but Ryan Garcia does not seem ready to go into a boxing match. A lot of people that have a mental breakdown or even a mental adjustment in consciousness like this are not working normal jobs, let alone going into a ring and having a physical fight with one of the best boxers of this generation. Devin Haney is a pound for pound great. I wanted this Instagram video to make me feel more positive about Ryan Garcia being on the right track, but this was not the way to go about it. Everything just seemed weird in this video and didn't give me confidence that he's even ready. What do you guys think?
Yeah, this is a really disturbing video. Like when I saw it, I didn't understand the thorn of crowns on his head. Like of all the things he could wear, like wear a New York Yankees baseball cap. Like why are you wearing thorn? But the fact that this is somebody who is a showman, right? Very charismatic, very handsome. He always looks into the camera, makes direct eye contact. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he's looking down and he's looking away, the words that are coming out of his mouth are not matching his actions or where his eyes are landing. It's almost like there's somebody in front of him, right? And he's trying not to look at the camera and they're kind of like, you better say what you need to say.
Yeah, it's like almost like a dead energy, not saying, mm-hmm. you know, speaking negatively like or anything in existence, but it's like, he's talking, but he's not there.
Yeah. Like he does not believe what he's saying.
Right. And another thing I've always noticed about just like, say, celebrities or just anybody in general, like typically when we see them like on the TV or whatever, I always say pay close attention when you hear someone when they thank God, because a lot of people will always thank God, but you don't know what God they're thanking. That you don't know if they're thanking Yahweh. You don't know if they're thanking Jesus. He was always very adamant about thanking Jesus. But a lot of times people will say, oh, I thank God. They're not thanking the same God that we're initially thinking of. The God can be a word for several different type of deities and entities and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. He was always very adamant about Jesus Christ. So I find it interesting that he's wearing that crown of thorns.
Yeah, because even when he was on the Logan Paul show, he was saying, you know, he was a proud professed Christian. He was like, you know, I serve Jesus, God, you know, I'm a Christian. I love my faith, you know, and he was saying that on Logan Paul's podcast, who we all know is an asshole towards Christians at times. Because remember, his best friend was a Christian. He would shame him all the time. And eventually his friend quit the show, but that's a whole nother topic.
Not the one that was all crazy. Like, was it the one that was all crazy? Like, I got my dang coin. Was it that guy?
It was, he had one of his friends. He was like a really like staunch Christian and he was always the butt of the joke on Logan Paul's podcast. You know, I don't watch it all the time, but I remember when all that drama ensued, but he ended up leaving the show. But yeah, I just feel like there's something, there's definitely something going on with Ryan. It's sad. I think even let's put aside the whole Illuminati, Bohemian Grove, you know, demonic entity stuff, like just all the hocus pocus stuff. Putting that aside, there's a human being here. And there's
And there's definitely something not right there.
Yeah, like he's definitely going through something. So me personally, I understand money's on the line, reputations are on the line, sponsors and all that stuff. But I think at the end of the day, you only have one body, one soul, one life to live. And I don't think he needs to fight at this point in time. I think he needs to take a break. This fight that's about to happen does not need to go forward.
The date's kind of interesting too, the fact that it's 420 of all dates. I mean, I know there's other dates, but you know, that's a lot of potheads look at it as, oh, you know, that's a smoke day, but that's actually a very ritualistic date if you know you fall down enough rabbit holes on it being 420. But yeah, even like you said, outside of all of the excuse me, all of like the hocus pocus stuff and looking at it way deeper on an esoterical level, I think that it's very interesting. You can clearly tell, like you were saying, like we were both saying, something is not right with him. He's mm-hmm. not in a condition to be fighting right now. So to me, it almost seems like whoever is sponsoring him, just like, what's his name? I always forget his name. Andrew Tate was talking about, you know, when you have these sponsors, just like, hell, look at Wendy Williams. You know, when money's on the line and they got money backing you, they don't care about your health. They don't care about your mental health, your well-being. You put on a fake smile and you let everybody know you're okay and everything's good. And you get out there and you make us our fucking money like a damn pimp.
Right. Yeah, something is going on. Now, what else is disturbing is this Diddy connection.
Damn demon is always lurking in the fucking corner. Excuse my language. He is always lurking in the corner somewhere. Anytime something sinister comes about, it's like Diddy's around here somewhere. I just know it.
Exactly. And that's the part that's just like really weird, because before he kind of went crazy, Ryan Garcia had posted a picture of Diddy and Devin Haney, the guy that he's going to fight, at a pool party. Mm-hmm. And Diddy was looking extra sassy.
Yeah.
And then what was even creepier is, you know how they come out to like talk, like, you know, to kind of like make fun of each other, mock each other.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Garcia came out to the song "I'll Be Missing You" by Diddy.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And you know, I'm busy doing my deep dive. So I'm just like taking all these, you know, extra notes, like, damn.
Right.
Deep dive just keeps getting longer. Like, oh, I didn't need a Diddy connection in the boxing world because I had no plans on even going this way. But, you know,
yeah, that's crazy.
I have to add this to the deep dive as well, because it's like, what's really the tea? And literally after he posted that, he just started kind of going crazy.
Yeah, that's very interesting of all songs that he would place that in the connection. But like I said, Diddy's like a cancer. He's just lurking in the corner anywhere to feed off of any type of sinister energy or any type of negativity. He's just evil. He's like a damn supervillain. Like, he transcends human form at this point and is just like the embodiment of evil.
It is. It's going to be interesting to see if he does end up fighting. Like I said, just on a human level, I don't think he needs to fight Devin Haney at all. But
I don't either.
And then some people are saying, like, you know, is this all for attention? Because we do live in the world where, you know, people will do anything for attention. But
I don't know about all that. Like, yeah. That is taking shit, especially for someone who is, you know, like a proclaimed Christian. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be playing them type of games. Like, that's taking it way, way too far just to draw attention to a fight. Like, there's a million other different ways he could have went to draw attention to a fight.
Right.
Then Bohemian so Grove and rape and stuff like that.
Yeah. And the
he
thing
could have leaked so a dick pic.
I don't think he would even have to do that. People
right.
would attention for the fight anyways.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It really is. So let's go ahead and segue from this, since we're still talking about the sinister industry. Let's talk about what is going on right now with Drake Bell from Nickelodeon. For y'all who don't know, Drake Bell was on the Drake and Josh show back in the day, like in the early 2000s. And basically, he ended up going to jail and getting prosecuted a few years ago. I believe this was around 2021. They gave him 2 years of probation for child endangerment charges, where he was caught grooming a 12-year-old girl. He had been grooming her. It was like one of his friends' nieces or something. He had been grooming her, sending her sexually explicit pictures and all types of stuff. And so he ended up getting a charge behind that. Well, now they're doing this whole special on, I believe, on A&E or on the ID channel, if I'm not mistaken. And basically, Drake Bell is coming out and he's accusing Nickelodeon's dialogue coach, Brian Peck, of sexually abusing him as a child actor. So the show is going to be called The Dark Side of Kids TV, Quiet on the Set. And it's on Investigation Discovery, so the ID channel. It's a docuseries that they're putting together. And so what's really interesting and sad about this is it just shows you that, you know, hurt people hurt others. And you know, sometimes people who are abused, they learn it from somewhere. And right. We've been talking about all the dark shit that's gone on Nickelodeon and Disney for years. I know I've spoken about it on my channel. And so to see him finally wanting to come out and talk about this, I think is it's a great thing.
Yeah.
So I want to go ahead and play the clip here.
In the early 90s, Nickelodeon was kid everything. And you better hope that your house had cable.
Wasn't there to educate you. We were there to have fun, to get slime, to be entertained.
And this is when Dan Schneider arrives,
Nickelodeon's golden boy. He created these shows that were hugely successful for them.
No one had ever really done sketch comedy starring kids for kids.
He launched the careers of child actors who became major stars.
For 20 years, he shaped children's entertainment and culture.
Thank you for being here.
But that marked one of the darkest chapters.
Working for Dan was like being in an abusive relationship.
Dan's treatment of people on his shows was an open secret.
So my lawyer filed complaints, gender discrimination, hostile work environment, harassment, and it was so devastating.
How safe can any kids be in that environment?
There would be even bigger problems down the line with actual pedophiles on set.
To hear that Brian Peck was a sexual predator, it made me wonder immediately about who was being hurt.
Who it is, when it happened, where it happened, I have no idea.
It wasn't dealing with anybody on the shows or anything, right?
It was a child actor.
On one of our shows?
Yes.
All right. So wow. That is the clip, and he just looked really, really bothered. I can't wait to see what he has to say. Now, Drake Bell is 37 years old right now, but they were also saying in this article that, was it Brian? Yeah. They were saying that Brian Peck, who's now 63, he was arrested in 2003 and convicted of child molestation in 2004 after pleading no contest to the charge of oral copulation from a minor under the age of 16. And so they never made the victim's name public, but a lot of people think it could have been, you know, one of the kids for sure on the Nickelodeon shows.
I'm sure there was many.
Yeah, I mean, and it makes sense. Look how crazy Amanda Bynes went. You know, this was a girl who was so talented as a child. And, you know,
yeah, hilarious.
It makes me sad when you think about like just where a lot of these kids are now as adults. Even Orlando Brown, watching him on that Bad Boy show, it's like he would come in and out of who he was. Something happened to a lot of these childhood stars. And I think the saddest part for me, because, you know, as kids, we all want to be like them. You know, who doesn't want to be on TV? We all think we're talented as kids. I can sing. I can dance.
Yeah, I want to be a Nickelodeon superstar.
Yeah, you know, me and my brothers used to put on whole little shows in our living rooms and things.
Right,
like that.
Yeah.
And so to know that every child in the world wants your position. You know, we all want to be on Nick and on Double Dare and on, you know, all these shows. And to know that not only did these kids literally sacrifice their childhood because they're on set for umpteen hours a day, 24/7, they're not able to have a regular, you know, just that normal time when you're going through school and making friends and playing sports after school. And you're on set all day. You're on set pretending and showing the rest of the world how it is to be a kid, how it is to be a teenager. All the while, you're not really living that life because you're around adults. And now we're finding out a lot of the adults that they were around were sexual predators. And it's just hard to hear about it.
Yeah. And this is also work that they're doing. You know, like we would see it as kids. It's like, oh, they're on Nickelodeon and it's amazing. And, you know, they're stars and everybody loves them. But I mean, these kids are clocking in and on set for God knows how long, like doing full-time jobs, memorizing scripts and acting and being criticized all the way down to the way that they look, to what they eat. Like, they were children being put through adult jobs. Like, I'm starting to realize why, because I know we had talked about several times, like, why isn't there any more, like, kids shows like that anymore? Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to see why. Like, I really don't know if it should even be legal for there to be kid productions like that. Like, not saying that there shouldn't be child actors, but it's been made blatantly obvious that they cannot provide safe environments for a lot of these child actors, because it seems like there's no gray area, unless, you know, maybe just certain information we only know, like the extremes. But it's like they're either mega stars right now, or they're going through a lot, like the Orlando Browns and the Amanda Bynes. Like, you're either a Miley Cyrus or an Amanda Bynes. Like, it's like there's no in between. What happened to some of the childhood actors that just said, you know what, I don't want to be an actor anymore, and I'm just living like a normal life? And I know there are some out there, but it just seems very few and far between. And then also, just back to the, you know, which that was just a short little clip, but seeing the trailer for the show, that guy that was the bald-headed guy that's like, it wasn't happening on our show, was it? I don't know. Yeah. He was kind of giving me weird vibes. Like, right. I feel like he knew more than what he was pretending to. Like, sir, you know there was some shit going on. Because a lot of times, a lot of these people, a lot of these adults behind the scenes, parents included, know that there's some nefarious shit going on, and they don't care. Because I've seen podcasts and stuff like that. I can't remember who it was, but they were talking about the crappy deals that they would get, the crappy contracts, or they really wouldn't get paid a lot, or they wouldn't get, I can't remember. It wasn't Drake and Josh, but it was like another show. Maybe it was like the Disney version. Maybe it was like Zach and Cody or something like that. And anyways, they were talking about how the pay was bad. It wasn't good. And they were like, well, y'all really didn't know what you were doing. And they're like, no, we did. We just know that had we denied it, we would be so easily replaceable. You know, there's thousands of other kids that would love this opportunity. So we took really shitty deals just because, you know, that was all we had.
Yeah. And I mean, even on top of Brian Peck, we also had Dan Schneider. I mean, I've been talking to him for years. That's the one who's
that obsessed fat
with
fuck.
Yeah. Obsessed with people's feet. And he really like harassed a lot of these girls on like iCarly and Zoe 101 and the Amanda Show. So he had a lot of issues. And, you know, at the end of the day, again, this doesn't excuse anything that Drake Bell has done to that young girl, because to me, he's still wrong and he still ruined another child's childhood, right? So this is not to excuse him, but it's also very interesting to see, like, maybe this is where his learned behavior came from, was on the set of Nickelodeon. And, you know, let's not forget Janet McGurdy from Sam and Cat. She spoke on this for years, you know, even had that memoir, I'm Glad My Mom Died. You know,
yeah, because her mom was evil, put her through hell.
Her mom was like pimping her out.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And, you know, I know the title of the book is very jarring, but when you really get into it, it's crazy that someone that, you know, it was birthed you and is supposed to protect you and care for you would put you through such hell. I mean, she is going to need therapy for the rest of her life because of the shit that she had to go through just through a job. Like, just going to work and making money literally traumatized her for the rest of her life. And then us as kids, we're sitting at home watching this and thinking that they have it made, and we don't even know the half of it.
Yeah. And I think that's like the sad part, is that you never know what's going on behind the scenes. And I just find it really sad. Like, Dan Schneider, he literally did not lose his position until 2018. You know, once the allegations just became too many. Then it's like, okay, we need to get rid of this.
Yeah, like one wasn't enough. They just, it had to get into, you know, an astronomical amount. And they're like, well, maybe we should keep him away from kids because he's clearly a predator.
Yeah.
It definitely goes to show where the priorities were in these situations. And it was not about a safe working environment for kids or anything like that. It was just a bunch of abusers and money. That's all they cared about.
Yeah. And if nobody has watched that movie, it was supposed to be in theaters, and then they took it out. They never made it public. With all the predators, you remember that? With An Open Secret.
If you
guys have not watched An Open Secret, it's kind of hard to find it because they try to, you know, suppress it on social media. But that really breaks down so many things that were going on behind the scenes, and even how a lot of these guys would get arrested, they would get charged, and literally they'd be back on set within a year or two.
And that's interesting enough right there. Like, why would a movie like that be suppressed so much?
Yeah.
Like, anytime people try to tell the...
Yeah, it was initially supposed to be in the theaters. They promised these boys that it would get national exposure, and it ended up getting shelved. And then eventually, I believe the director, the producer of the film, just put it online for free because they would not air it in any theaters.
Yeah, that right there is telling enough. Like, why are you trying so hard to suppress this film?
Yeah.
There's definitely people they're trying to protect.
Yeah. And Bryan Singer, you know, he didn't really suffer a lot of backlash per se from it. But eventually, you know, the accusations got louder and louder. And they ended up like removing him from like the director's hall of fame and all this other stuff. So he's just been like he's like a Russell Simmons. He's in his own self-imposed exile, you know, because
he still probably made his millions and is living fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he assaulted so many young boys. And that's just what he did. And he got away with it, you know, just because he was young, he was handsome. But yeah, he's a very, very dark man, dark, sick man. And it makes me sad that he directed a lot of the X-Men films. And you guys know I'm a huge X-Men fan.
Yeah, those are all good movies.
That he directed a lot of those films in the early days.
Yeah, those movies were lit, but he's a piece of shit.
He is. So I can't wait to watch it. You know,
yeah,
hopefully
me too.
It sheds more light on just the things that Drake Bell and others went through there on the set of Nickelodeon and Disney. And I think at this point, like you said, they don't need to have any more children's shows. I think they should have them, but they need to be highly regulated. They need to be protected. Parents need to be on set. And parents need to stop chasing fame so much that they're willing to sell their children to the highest bidder.
Right. And I will give props to ID for at least like airing this, because just like we were just discussing, a lot of times when it comes to stuff like this, they don't bring, they try to suppress the information. They don't want the masses knowing stuff like that. So at least there was a network that actually picked it up and is willing to air it and shed light on a lot of stuff that these kids go through.
Exactly. So now the last story that we're going to hit on is all this hair drama, and you really can lead the way with this. I didn't even know this was going on TikTok. I didn't know any of these hair people, but I'm here for all this mess with these stylists and them flying people out and people accusing the girl of not being grateful, but then the girl came out and spilt a bunch of tea. So if you want to kind of explain what is going on with the situation and the stylists involved, and I have all the clips here as well.
Okay. All right. So, So it's Alfredo, the two people that I'm familiar with is Alfredo, who's a colorist, and Philip Wolf. Now, I will say Philip Wolf, he's not no amateur. He is the GOAT. I would love to let him cut my hair. So these are not amateur stylists. Philip Wolf has been in the game for a very, very long time. He is
Philip Wolf the Asian with the dreadlocks?
Yes, yeah. Okay. Yeah. He's been putting in work for years, like decades. He's a very, very well experienced. He does education. He's just that dude. Like, he's goals. He is not just some, you know, amateur type hairstylist. Like, he's that dude. So anyways, their platform that they built, which it's Alfredo who, you know, I believe it's his page, but nonetheless, they post hair videos and content and stuff like that on TikTok. And I think we've all kind of came to the understanding that the beauty community, whether it's the industry, you know, the stylist industry or just online, is one of the ugliest communities, I will say. Like, it's very nasty. There's a lot of jealousy. It can just be a very vile, toxic place. That's kind of why I like more barbering work. But anyway, so Alfredo and then what they do, like a little segment that they have on their TikTok, is they find people online that have destroyed their hair. And it's 9 times out of 10 DIY projects. Like, it's people at home that, you know, decided they go on live and do their hair from some shit that they bought from Walgreens or Sally's or God knows where. And they just completely destroy their hair. They'll fry it off with bleach. And none of them are professionals. I think every once in a blue moon, they might get a botched job from a salon, but it's usually DIY projects. So what they do is they contact them and they fly them out first class. They put them in a hotel room. They bring them to the salon by a very well experienced, like been in the game a long time professionals, and they fix their hair for them. And that's what they do to create content. So they've been doing that for a while. And they recently got this girl named Taylor who went on live and just completely fried her hair off. And they picked her and they flew her out to do her hair. They did her hair and, you know, she's like, oh, I love it. I'm obsessed. I love it. And then she ended up going online after, to make a long story short, she ended up going online because she's also a content creator as well. Went online and just started like bashing them, you know, talking about
how she also is a content creator on TikTok.
Yeah, she's actually from your city. She's from Minneapolis. So,
okay.
Yeah. She's from Minnesota, but she wasn't giving Minnesota nice like all the other Minnesotians I met because she. Now, I'm going to keep it real. I did not think the color was that great, especially from Alfredo, because he has been doing this a very, very long time. So the color, the end result that I saw, I was like, oh, okay, you know, whatever it is, what it is. But it was definitely a million times better than, you know, what she walked in with. This was all free. And what kind of perked my ears up was, all this girl was talking about was I'm not buying the bullshit, because there was a girl before too long. Everybody's on this girl's side because she's young and she's pretty, because there was a girl that they did a little, you know, makeover on too and helped. And they was in the comments dragging her, saying she was on drugs. Why are you helping her? She's clout chasing, this, that, and the third. And all. And even Alfredo had to come on there and check them and be like, look, y'all need to quit being mean to her. She's been through a lot. Like, this lady lost her husband, her house burned down, her mom died. Like, she really had been through it, a previous person that they had helped. This girl comes on. She didn't get what she wanted. And instead of just, you know, privately messaging him after the fact and being like, hey, I really am not super happy with the results. Is there any way that, you know, we could do X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah. She goes on TikTok and blasts him and then privately messages him and tells him how much she loves it. And the whole time, all of her videos, all she's talking about is how much money they made off of the video. So to me, I personally believe that she's salty that they made a bunch of money off of her because they're content creators. That's their platform that they fucking built. And she wants in on some of that money and she's trying to ride that wave and she's being a clout chaser. I am not here for this girl, not one bit. She pissed me the fuck off watching all this shit. And I am so annoyed by so many different stylists that are coming out supporting her because it's given jealousy. It's given big mad jealousy because a lot of hairstylists will be like that. They will be the first ones to talk about another hairstylist's work, how it looks like shit, how they could have done better, how they could have done this and that and all kind of shit like that. He didn't want to give her extensions. She was mad because he didn't give her extensions. He said, I'm not getting paid to do extensions. The brand that I used to have a brand deal with is no longer doing brand deals with me. So I'm not promoting extensions in this video. And then she just got real nasty with it. So he was like, all right, bitch, fuck you. Now this is me paraphrasing. He was much more professional. But yeah, long story short, that's what happened.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and watch the clips here. So we're going to watch these. So this is Alfredo Lewis and Philip Wolf. And this is them showing like the grand finale.
Here's the finale, part three.
I've used my hair three times now. I've used two different color removers, but I've used one of them two different times. I've tried toning twice, and it's just...
Let's get into the finale with results and do a quick recap. As you heard there from our consult, Taylor did extensive damage to her hair at home, bleaching her hair multiple times using color removers. We got K18 to her in Minneapolis, and they were so gracious to fly her to LA for this one to help us save her hair. I filled her hair with gold, did a 5N and 5G right on top of it, did some wet balayage. I wanted to do an old money brunette with balayage, and I was so thrilled with the color. Philip Wolf came in and just cut off the dead ends and then came in there and did some texturizing and shaping of her hair. It was such a joy. You guys were so vicious. There were so many rats in the comments with Taylor. You know, she would never, like, who would actually do this, like, on purpose? Of course, she made a mistake and did her own hair, but nobody does these things to themselves. Look at that color, though. What do you guys think? So a lot of you guys were asking me what I prescribed to Taylor. After Philip came in and did some texturizing, I gave her callosum. That's callosum right there. That has an ingredient called PTT6 that's patented, and it wakes up sleeping hair follicles. I was showing her there how to use it. You can't color same day. She's going to do this twice a week at home. And the damage that she had, there was some bald spots on her hair. This is going to help her on a scalp level to help her hair grow back faster. Then I added Bellamy Hair Pro extensions there. If you see there, that color was a perfect color match. We didn't want to add length, actually. We liked the length maybe a little bit, like for a lob. So Philip Wolf came in there and gave it an amazing shaping. And then Makeup by Love Andrea did makeup. Philip is using Design Me there. He's using their spray, and that's their Puff Me. I am obsessed with that. It adds volume to the hair. But look at Taylor's hair. And yes, I also think she looks exactly like a Kylie Jenner doppelganger. She is absolutely stunning. We finished off with the KT Molecular Repair Hair Oil. There is the before. Here is the after. Did we slay this? Did we even leave no crumbs? Let us know what you think in the comments. And here is a final gorgeous shot of Taylor with her hair up.
Okay. I didn't like it. It just looks like a frizzy mess. She's very pretty. The makeup was old. She looked pale.
I didn't like the makeup job, and I do think it looked better in the updo. Now, I know they ended up showing like reference photos of what she wanted. So it was a little off from what she wanted. And I will say that there's nothing wrong with going somewhere like if you hair done a certain way, which also to keep in mind, though, she did totally fuck her hair up prior to. So her options were probably a little bit more limited, but it's totally okay to go somewhere, get your hair done, your nails done, whatever service, even if it's free. They flew her out and wanted to fix her hair to make her feel better about herself and make herself happier. So if she did not like the finished result, I totally understand sitting there and being like, oh my God, I love it. I'm obsessed. And then going home and looking at it and being like, I hate it. But I think that there's definitely a way to go about it. She could have just messaged him and been like, look, I don't like the results. Is there anything that we could do to kind of fix it? Because I'm not happy with the results. I think that the way that she went about it was very disingenuous. And it almost was like she wanted a moment. Mm-hmm. If they could have made more content just by her coming up, because also she's a content creator too. So she's benefiting from being on their platform. It's not like they're not tagging her. They're tagging her, and he's got millions of followers. So they're both benefiting from this. Yes, he's got paid brand deals, but that's their platform. They've worked years building up their platform. They've been in the game for years. You don't just get to step up on their platform and then fill away because he's got all these paid deals and you're not getting a bite of the money. He's tagging you. You're getting, you're getting more eyes on you and everything you got going on. But there's definitely a way to go about it. And like I said, if she didn't like it, that's totally fine. But I just find it rich, the internet's reaction, because best believe, had it been a couple of the other girls that came through before her that didn't have the same look as her, that didn't have the same aesthetic as her, nobody would have gave a shit. She gave those white women tears and started crying. And people's like, oh, we support you, Taylor. But had it been the other girl that they was dragging saying was on drugs, or the other girl that, you know, didn't have the cute, you know, look that she had, did nobody would have gave a fuck.
Fat girl on there? They were making fun of the fat girl?
Yeah, well, see, I wasn't trying to go there. But yeah, but had it been the big girl before her... Had it been the big girl before her with the mullet, they would have told her to sit her fat ass down and be happy for what she got. But now, it's a young, pretty girl. They're like, oh, we support you, Taylor. And then there was another girl. You could tell she probably was on Xanax, but hell, her house just fucking burnt down. Her husband died. Her mom died. She was going through it. But everybody in the comments was dragging her, telling them you shouldn't help her. She's on drugs. She's a clout chaser. But then when the young, pretty white girl comes through, you were mean to her. Her hair looked like shit. That's not right. I'm like, y'all need to pick and choose. At the end of the day, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And I was not a fan of the color. I didn't really care too much for the color on her, especially seeing the inspo picture she had. Mm-hmm. I really think that she wanted extensions. And extensions are very expensive, especially when you're doing tape-in. And I think that's what she wanted, and that's not what she got. I heard that a lot of other people were reaching out to her to do her hair. And so she ended up going to the person that had the most followers. So at the end of the day, it still looked better than what you started out with. It was giving very ungrateful, but now, hell, this thing's so viral, bitch, anybody will fix your hair.
Right. So let's go ahead and listen to what Alfredo had to say after all the drama ensued.
I barely slept last night. I've been in bed all day. I've never had my mental health affected from social media. I know it happens a lot to people, but this whole Taylor thing is completely out of hand. I did this because I wanted to help her to do something nice. We flew her out for free, and she has us all blocked, but people are sending me a video that she just made that I'm like shaking right now because it's just such lies, and I don't know why she's doing this. I honestly don't know. We loved Taylor. We had the best time with her. She was so happy. I'm going to show you my receipts, which is so dumb. I didn't want to do this. I'm a grown man. I am... Like I said, I've been doing hair 30 years. I'm 50 years old. Like, I'm not going to fight with young...
Hold up, he's 50?
Yeah, I was about to say, he's been in the game a long time.
Oh, shit. Okay, Mr. White Don't Crack. I ain't never seen that, I thought he was like 25. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. These ain't no amateurs. Like, they've been in the business a minute.
Okay.
He does this for real.
Okay.
Mother. You know, and I'm just I'm beside myself at the comments, the bullying. We had the best intentions with Taylor, and I'm gonna show you. First of all, I showed you this one before, but like she's saying she loved her hair and how her hair turned out. If I have any shots, that was the next day. That was Friday. We did her hair on Thursday, and then here's Saturday's text. I also want to get all of your Cash apps so I can give you tips. I feel so bad I wasn't able to while I was there. I've been so broke lately and waiting on payments. Are we going to post the final one Monday? If you didn't like your hair, why would you ask, like, want to pay us? This was Saturday. And then on Sunday, she texted me again how excited she was that she's been talking to Stella. She can't wait for the video. If she had said, I'm unhappy with the haircut, which, by the way, I did the color. I did not do the haircut. That was a consultation with her and Philip, and she, I'm going to show you guys the videos right now. So I'm just asking myself, like, what is her real intention here? I don't understand it. Like, I'm heartbroken. If she had told me in this text message she was sad, guess what I would have done? Flown her back out on my dollar and given her extensions, which we gave her extensions. So just watch these videos. And then I just want to be done with this, but please, like, this is really affecting me, and I don't understand. Like, I saw all the other stuff. Like, she seems to be love fighting people on social media. That is not who I am. I like helping people, and I'm not going to stop because of her, but this is just completely out of hand, and I just can't.
I love it. So cute.
It's the whole...
I love it. Absolutely love it. I didn't recolor it. I think the lighting was kind of like weird in that video, so maybe it looked a little bit orange, but it doesn't look like that in real life. It looks really nice. It's really pretty. I love it a lot.
So what I don't understand is, like, why? Why all these videos? Why all this drama? Like, I don't do this. I got into this because I wanted to help people. All the other girls that I've helped, I'm still friends with them. And I don't understand it. Like, if she wasn't happy, we would do anything to make her happy. We loved her. We loved having her in the salon. Everything was great. I wasn't on my phone all the time. And also, I have not made $5,000 from this. The whole Bellamy thing, I tagged them. If you look in the video, I tagged them and we used extensions. I'd be happy to give her long hair. Not anymore. No way. And also, she said other brands. She was talking trash about the other brand the whole time that they break people's hair, about the lawsuits. I don't even want to get into it. She also talked about Kylie and Selena and that Kylie was going to use her and then canceled her because she was talking bad about them. And I just left that all alone. I don't get into that drama. It should have all been red flags for me. We flew her out first class. We got her a hotel. Like, what more does she want? I understand. Like, if she had honestly told me in the chair or even afterwards, like, we would make it right. But at this point, it's completely out of hand. And I'm just so hurt. If anything else, I'm sad. And Taylor, if we've failed you in any way, I'm so sorry, but this does not seem genuine to me. Like, even in my text messages yesterday, I told her, I'm not going to come back for you. I'm not going to show all the receipts I have because I don't want to hurt you. And then she blocks us all and makes that video right now. What is that about? And she says, it's because I'm commenting back. People are just showing me support and I'm saying thank you. This is like childish. Like, I will not talk about this again, guys. I'm going to keep helping people with their hair, but I'm not going to talk about this again. I have better things to do, like with my life and my time. And I do work for brands. Everybody knows that. That's not a secret. I'm an influencer. But this was not a paid thing. And, you know, if anything, it was paid for. So I feel like it's really ungrateful and really unfortunate. And I don't know what to say because I don't know who this person is that is making these videos. It's not the person that was at the salon.
All right. So let's go ahead and watch what Taylor had to say.
This is the absolutely last video that I'm making about this. But I'm done being Mr. Nice Guy and I'm exposing fucking everyone. I'm exposing everything. The whole time I was there, Alfredo barely talked to me. He was on his phone the whole time. Or if he wasn't on his phone, he was talking with Philip about how they were going to get paid, how they were going to make so much money, how this is going to go so viral because I look like Kylie Jenner. I really do feel like they used the shit out of me and it's fucked up. Alfredo's in the creator fund. So 3 million, 5.6 million, 1.2 million, he's going to make bang off the videos that he made about me. He's going to make over well around like $5,000 or more. And that's just for the videos. He gets paid by K18. He gets paid by Tangle Teaser. He gets paid by the Hair Regrowth brand. The only reason he didn't do the extensions is because he wasn't going to get paid by them. He told me he had lots of extensions there. He just didn't want to use them because he wasn't going to get paid by them. The fact that he's being messy now, I'm fucking done. I am done. They used the shit out of me, trying to profit on me looking like a celebrity. It's messed up. And while I was there, I even told them the reason why I bleached my hair in the beginning is because I hate the Kylie comparisons. I don't like it. And the fact that they keep saying, oh, she looks like Kylie Jenner in the videos, because they're trying to exploit me and they're trying to make more money and get more views with it. The fact that Alfredo is liking comments right now that are bashing me, commenting under videos that are completely bashing me and talking crap about me, saying I'm ungrateful, is just so unprofessional. Like, this dude is so unprofessional. It is insane. And call me whatever, but this shit is patchy. Y'all were right. This shit is patchy and it looks bad. I'm sorry. I'm going to be so honest. It looks bad. It's giving Y2K Kelly Clarkson. It is. It's not cute. Okay? I did get home and cry. Did the fact that these were the inspo pictures and this is what I got, it's not it. He was very, very sloppy. It took little to no time. Alfredo barely took any time on me. I will say maybe an hour, probably not even. The rest of the time he was on his phone or it was Philip doing the rest of my hair. The whole thing felt very rushed. Very, very rushed. And it didn't feel like he put a lot of effort into it at all. Call me ungrateful, call me whatever the fuck you want, but I know my worth. I know what I'm bringing to the table. And I made him well over $5,000 just because of my face. So call me ungrateful. Say whatever you want. Yeah, I didn't pay him, but I did pay him. So a lot of you guys don't understand what collabs are, especially with creators who have a big following. You don't understand how much money there really is in that. Just because I didn't pay him means nothing. I had multiple other opportunities and offers from other companies and brands, yet I chose him because I thought he would give me what I wanted, and he didn't. So I was really never bashing him or trying to be mean to him. I was just saying I didn't get what I wanted, and he's saying that I needed to communicate more, and I'm like, hold up. I did communicate. I have the receipts. Don't do that. No, don't lie. Don't do that. I communicated. Don't lie. Y'all can hate me and call me ungrateful, spoiled brat, bitch. I've heard all of it. I don't care. I'm not. I know my fucking worth. I know how much money I made him. It's way more than you guys could ever imagine. Not just to mention, he's getting paid by other brands too. He got paid by multiple brands just for those videos.
So, yeah. Bitch, you're ungrateful. Shut up. Shut the fuck up. I'm sorry. And these airplanes are sending me all my bad. But no, she is 100% ungrateful. It is totally okay to not like your hair. Because I'm with her. The hair color, to the inspo pictures, with him being 30 years in the game, he should, the color was not giving at all.
It looks like inspo.
No, but for her to be like, it was a collab. Don't know. Didn't nobody know who you are? And don't tell me you don't try to use the Kylie Jenner thing to get, especially if you're a content creator.
She really looks like Kylie, because I thought
she does.
To me, I thought it was Kylie.
Yeah, she does.
So did she gain, because right now she has 759,000 followers. Did she gain more because of this drama?
Oh, I'm sure. Absolutely. Now, I don't know where she started, but I have never heard of this girl until this whole ordeal. Because this is, I thought just because I followed him, that was why it popped up. But then it's just constantly all these videos coming, you know, on my For You page. And then there's all other hairstylists giving commentary on it. And it's like a big thing. It's kind of like the whole, you know, mascara gate situation. And I will say, from a hairstylist standpoint, and this isn't just me being biased because, like, I understand, but I think a lot of times people forget when you spend hours, which based off of what she said, it wasn't a long time. And I do feel like with his level of talent and his level of experience, the color should have looked a lot better. Like, that she was not wrong on. And she has every right to not like the color. But when you spend a lot of time and effort into someone's hair and they don't like it, it is very, for now, some people might not care, but me personally, I have done people's hair. I've spent, like, you know, 8 hours on someone's hair before. And then when they see the final result, whether it looks just like the inspo picture or we get it as close as possible, because, you know, you're not fucking magicians, it can be very devastating. You get just as upset as the client does when they see their hair and they're not happy with it, because that is your work. That is, you've spent so much time and energy, physically, mentally, into trying to bring this thing to life. So it can be very devastating when the person does not like their hair. So usually most hairstylists, especially that's professional and been in the game a long time, try to do everything possible to make the client happy, because you feel like shit. You don't want to be the reason that someone looks in the mirror and hates the way that they look. So I feel for him in that aspect, but everything about her has given me clout chaser. She kept talking about all the money he made.
Yeah, these are brand deals. Pocket watching. Like, she was doing a lot of pocket watching.
Right. And as he should. Like, this is their platform. He's been in the game, you know, 30 plus years. They've built this together. He should have brand deals. Why are you worried about all the money that he's making off of it? It seems like she feels away because she thought she was going to make some money off the situation. And, you know, now she did, because, I mean, there's this whole ordeal on TikTok and everybody's kind of divided on it. And she's, you know, gained a lot of followers. So I kind of feel like that was maybe the
end goal.
So, I mean, I guess kudos to you, bitch. But I just thought it was really nasty. And she gives me nasty attitude, very ungrateful. Hell, if it's that big of a deal, just go back to the Sally's you went to and fuck your hair up again. Maybe someone else will help you.
Man, this is so, I'm telling you, a lot of the drama be in them TikTok streets.
I know. And, you know, the beauty industry, like I said, is so ugly. Like, I have noticed that even because I follow a lot of hairstylists, a lot of barbers and stuff like that on social media. Mm-hmm. And 9 times out of 10, when you go through the comments of a creator that posted their work, the people that have the most negative things to say, the nastiest things to say, that are doing all the critiquing and stuff like that, 9 times out of 10 are other hairstylists. That doesn't look that good. You should have done this. You should have done that. You're going to fry their hair off. You're going to do this, that, and the third. And it's like, well, bitch, you get up here and do a better job. And another thing, I know the big issue is she wanted extensions. Mm-hmm. When you put tape in extensions and hair that's very fragile, and her hair was clearly fragile because she fried the shit out of it. I mean, we all saw where she started. That can continue. That can mess your hair up. Now, I'm not saying that's what stopped him from doing it, but sometimes certain people are not good candidates for extensions because it can damage your hair more so. And she was not starting from a healthy point to begin with. I'm not big on tape and extensions, especially when your hair is compromised. But, you know, that's a whole nother story. She might have wanted to look into K-tips or some shit, but, you know, that.
Well, why didn't they just do a sew-in?
You know, some people do sew-ins, but I notice a lot of white salons they're just now starting to catch on to sew-ins.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's mainly what they do in black salons. We don't do the tape in the hair. That's my first time actually seeing the tape in the hair. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, and it's really not good for your hair because you need to and I'm not a extension expert, but whenever you're putting any hair addition into your hair, you need to make sure that the weight that is distributed from that hair is the same amount of weight from what the natural hair coming out of your head is. So when you're sandwiching two, wefts together on top of hair that's already compromised or thin, that can cause your hair to just fucking fall out. Hell, I've got bald spots from using clip-ins for years just because, I wanted thick, pretty long hair. So, which clip-ins are great temporarily, but I wasn't using them properly. So a lot of more white salons are just now starting to catch on to sew-ins. And then now they're doing, like K-tips and stuff like that, which K-tips is very, very tedious. Very expensive. She would have been a good candidate.
Are those the ones with the little that you climp into the hair?
Yeah, the little bonds and stuff like that.
I did those back in 2006. This is maybe a year after Tay Tay was born. Child, them things. When it was cute putting them in, but when me and my friend had taken them out, I lost so much hair. I have not looked at them things since. I didn't know they were still around.
Yeah, they're just now starting to, we'd be so late. They're just now popping off the past couple of years, maybe 2 or 3 years. There's K-tip specialists.
But the ones back then were really, really little beads. And it's almost like once we clapped them in my hair, they did not want to come unclamped.
Yeah, they started, that's them. Yep. Because they say that they last longer. There's a girl on TikTok I follow that literally just specializes in K-tips. And people fly all the way to New York to get her to do their hair because one thing that she's very, very vocal about, because a lot of times when you have really with me, I have very fine hair. So people will come in with fine hair wanting to leave with, this big, thick, beautiful head full of hair. And she's like, no, because the hair that's already growing out of your head is not going to be able to support the density of these really thick bonds. So I have to match the density that you already have. So it'll help, but a lot of times, sometimes the client wants what they don't necessarily need. And then that's also up to the stylist to be like, do I want to take this money or do I care about the integrity of their hair? Which one is more important? And, communication is everything. It seems like I would say this situation with them is a little bit of a miscommunication, but I'm just not feeling her. I feel like she went into it with ulterior motives. I agree with Alfredo. And I'm not saying he's perfect. I'm sure he probably has his ways about him. I've seen videos on TikTok of people having, a lot of people say that he's not a great stylist, but he's great at social media. His color, I've seen some of his colors that look good. This particular color was not the best, but also as a hairstylist, you're just not going to be able to make everybody happy. It's impossible. And you're not always going to nail it. Your work is not always going to be perfect and flawless. And that's, the downside of social media, because when you post your work on social media, you're opening the floodgates for all different types of opinions. But yeah, I'm just not feeling this girl. I feel like she's clout chasing. And if she says Kylie Jenner one more time, or how much damn money they made off her video, I'm like, girl, go on. I'm sick of you. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of her ass. And she is ungrateful.
Well, thank you for breaking that down. I mean, the girl definitely looks like Kylie, but...
Oh, she's cute.
Yeah, she's definitely trying to ride some type of wave. And unfortunately, that's the world that we live in. I don't care if it's her or Risa Tisa. Whatever people can do to go viral, good or bad, they're going to do it, So.
Yeah, they're going to capitalize off of it. Maybe through this, because I was like, damn, maybe I hope this doesn't stop them from, continuing to do this type of content and helping people, that fuck their hair up. But maybe with her going viral in this situation, I'm sure she has several people reaching out to her to fix her hair the way she wants it. So maybe she'll get her hair done the way that she wants it and she'll be happy. And, I'm sure it'll all pass over time. But once again, I still stand by. Had it been the fat girl with the mullet beforehand, nobody would have gave a shit. And I will die on that hill.
Right. Yeah. Oh, trust me. If you're cute and, if you're you have the complexion for protection, they're going to come running with their capes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. True. But Miss Thing before her, no. Nobody would have gave two fucks.
They'd have been like, you're even lucky he touched you with a temper.
Right.
I swear.
Yeah.
I swear.
Exactly. You ungrateful bitch. You should have been glad he bought it. I could hear it. I could see it now. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. We'll definitely keep us posted on this. And, you know, hopefully they'll come to some type of resolution. You know, who knows? I think at this point, they just all need to go their separate ways. And being that Alfredo, who looks damn good for his age, is 50. Once you get to a certain age, you don't have time to entertain nonsense. So he needs to
come
about his way, fix the next person's head and keep it moving. Let Taylor and her Gen Z friends, you know what I'm saying, run amok in her comment section.
Yeah, I noticed Philip Wolf was very quiet. He ain't said shit. He was like, fuck this. I ain't got time for none of this foolishness.
So he's not speaking on it at all.
I don't think so. Not that I follow him. Ain't nothing popped up on my For You page. But I mean, like I said, he really is the GOAT. Like, he's been doing this a long, long time. No shade to Alfredo. But the reason I always like to watch the videos was because of Philip Wolf, because he's just an amazing barber. I mean, he can do color and stuff, but he's really known for his cutting. Like, he really is that dude. But no, I don't think he said anything.
Okay, well, I don't blame him. He said he's staying out this drama.
Right.
Let the girls fight. I'm about to just kick back and enjoy my sponsorship deals, my brand deals, and move on to the next.
This too shall pass.
Exactly. Well, this has been a great stream. Podcast.
It's yeah.
Great podcast, and I really appreciate you coming on. We definitely hit on a lot of really good topics. So hope you guys enjoyed it. You know what I'm saying? I hope the tea sippers enjoy it. I know it's getting But thank you once again, Emily, for coming on. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure coming on here. I always appreciate it.
Definitely. So we will talk to y'all later. Y'all have a good night. Deuces.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Make sure you join us again soon. For all the latest tea, make sure you follow me on my social media pages. Just put in LOVELYTI on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.